Good afternoon. Jesus said in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and days and nights shall never cease." You know, we are Christians. We don't worry about global warming and all these things the world fearful of. The only global warming we worried about is when Jesus come back in flaming fire. But I say that to say the seasons are changing. And we can see now, a few weeks ago was summertime, and we had on shorts and sandals, but now we put on coats. The seasons are changing. See, but what we have to do, we have to dress for the season. You know, animals, they know, like, if a animal can have a baby in a certain season so that when that youth get to a certain age, it'll be warm. So they know they can nurse them, and they plan for the seasons. We, as the people of God, are we planning for the seasons? The title of this sermon, The Four Seasons.
Yes, sir.
The Four Seasons. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. Read that for me, Brother Craig. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. The pleasure of sin, that's the first season. The pleasure of sin only lasts for a season.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we as people, we engage in sin thinking that it's going to bring us joy and happiness into our world, but it only lasts for a season. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 13. Do not be trapped by the deceitfulness of sin. See, sin, it only lasts for a season. It gratifies, but it can never satisfy. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 8. If you sow to the flesh, ye shall the flesh reap
corruption.
Ask Eve. She sinned to gratify her flesh, and she reaped death. Ask David in 2 Samuel 11. He gratified himself with Bathsheba, but it reaped death in his family. A man take a drink of some liquor and he goes home, beat his wife and kids. That little satisfaction that he got created a lifetime of pain for the family. Those children will have to deal with that circumstance of being beaten. The wife had to deal with it in their last generation. They have certain ways they'll raise their children. It has a long-lasting effect. Sin has a long-lasting effect. If a man get in a car accident from drinking and driving, oh, that pleasure of sin. He was excited when he left the party. He gets in a car accident. He dies. A mother loses a child. A wife loses a husband. Children lose their father. And it plays a long-lasting effect. A domino effect in the generations to come. Sin only lasts a season, the pleasure of it. Moses, he chose not to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. As a matter of fact, let's turn to Exodus chapter 32, verse number 1. We must understand that sin has consequences. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 1.
And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down.
Now, what happened in this situation? God calls Moses up to Mount Sinai. He left the children at the foot of Mount Sinai. He went up to go up on a mount to receive the Ten Commandments. Now, go ahead.
And he delayed to come down out of the mount. The people Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him.
Now, let me tell you something. When Moses went up there, he delayed. The people got frantic or bored or whatever you call it. When you don't have faith, see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. When you lose faith, you begin to look around for something to worship. They lost faith in the one who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they looked around for a God to worship. They built a golden calf. We could fall in the same situation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We must not lose faith. Go ahead, keep reading. Verse number 2.
Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.
Now, they took this golden calf, made this their god. Moses was in the mount. Verse number 7, God got upset about it. The Lord said unto Moses, get thee down to them people that which thou brought out of the land of Egypt. God said, I will destroy them, create you a new people. Verse number 12, Moses pleaded, Lord, please remember the promise you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse number 14, God repented of their evil, which means he turned his mind from destroying them. Now pick up with verse number 19. He made them drink it. Now listen to this. Sin has consequences. We are Christians. Sometimes we think we can go and sin and come back and be like, I'm sorry. But it has consequences. So we continue in sin that grace may abound. Listen. If a man is in sin, he drinks and drives. He gets in a car accident, kills another man, his wife, and his kids. He come down the aisle the next day. He becomes a Christian. That Christian man goes to court, and he got the church behind him. He's still guilty as charged. You got to eat that charge, bro. As Christians, we must understand we can't just linger in sin. They come with consequences. Let's just say this. Say a young lady, she gives her body to a man she's not married to. He breaks her heart. She leaves him, goes to another man, does the same thing. He breaks her heart. Does it again. By the time she finds her husband, her heart is broke. She has to live with the consequences of her past situation and what men did to her. She has post-traumatic stress. She's calling him every 5 minutes. Where you at? What you doing? Where you at? Where you been? Who you with? Who the background? Sin lingers on time and time again. That's why we shouldn't linger in sin. It has consequences. Sometimes we feel like we can get away with it, as long as nobody knows about it. If a man drinks his kidney when he become a Christian, that same kidney come over on this side of Christianity with him. His lungs, sin has consequences. Moses chose not the pleasure of sin because it only lasts a season. Now those people, the kids that was around them, they was young at that time. They witnessed their parents build this golden calf. The kids, they witnessed it. They were there. Oh, those parents might have repented, but idolatry went from generation to generation to generation. Sometimes we as parents, we need to understand what we do can affect our kids. Mm-hmm. How we act at home, how we act, we slack at church, whatever it is that we do, we know is in sin. It affects generations after generation after generation. The pleasure of sin might only last for a season, but it can affect you for the rest of your life. Sin has consequences. Sin separates us from God. We must understand that we are not to live in sin any longer. We are buried with him in baptism. The old man dies in the ground. We rise up a new man. Season number one, the pleasure of sin. It only lasts for a season.
Yes.
Season number two, the season of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the history of God's people, we have always witnessed them suffering. When Moses was of age, at the age of 40, he had all the money that he could have desired. He was as a prince in the land of Egypt, but he chose rather to suffer with the slaves. He chose rather to suffer with the rejected, the cast down. He chose rather to suffer with them than to enjoy the pleasures of riches. God, people always suffered. We always suffer. Are you choosing to suffer? Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. 1 Peter 1, verse number 6. Sometimes we choose the pleasure of sin in this lifestyle today, and it only lasts for a season. We'll get to it later. Like we'll act right as a Christian later on in life when we get older. As I'm just saying, I'm talking to the young people now. We'll do that when I get older, but you don't know what sins you're bringing over from generation to generation into the people that's watching. Go ahead and read it.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season.
For a season. You might be in your temptation or trial season right now. We must understand, for a season, it's only for a season. You might be going through your stresses right now. This might be your season of stress. This might be it today, but you must understand it only lasts for a season. You might be dealing with heartaches on your job, in your marriage. Your living circumstances might not be what you want, but you must understand trials only happen, and you only go through it for a season. You remember the Egyptians when they put that hard burden on the Israelites. They put it on them. They weighed them down with burdens on purpose just to see them struggle. You might be going through life right now, and people in your life might be putting burdens on you. They want you to struggle. They want you to struggle. But we must understand that God never left them. Moses chose to suffer with God's people, not the world's people.
Yes,
sir. I would rather suffer with the people of God because I know God is in their life. I want to be on God's side. I'd rather struggle with them than with the world. Listen, God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said it in every dispensation of time. In the patriarchal period, he said it to the patriarchs. Genesis 28 and verse number 15. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said it in the Mosaic period. In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said in the Christian age, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 3, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather suffer with the people of God. See, but suffering does a lot for us, too. You know, when animals, when they are preparing for winter, they go into hibernation. They go into a cave where their body temperature low and they stay in hibernation so they can weather the storm. See, when you are in Christ, you in hibernation, you in the church, you can weather the storm. Jesus said, take up my cross. Yes, that cross is heavy. Take up my cross, Matthew 16 and 24, and follow me. Yes, that road that you're going to be going down is a little rough. Take it up. It's heavy. Follow me. I promise you, when the end destination is going to be glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Take up my cross and follow me. 2 Timothy 3, 12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We got to go into Christianity knowing that we will suffer. Turn to Acts chapter 5 for me, Brother Craig. Acts chapter 5, verse number 40. Acts chapter 5, verse number 40. Might get you to bag up just a little bit. Acts chapter 5, In this context, the apostles are preaching the gospel, and a man named Gamaliel, he said, listen, the Sanhedrin Council, they were trying to destroy the apostles, and Gamaliel said, listen, we don't want to fight against God. If this be a man, it'll come up to nothing, but we don't want to fight against God. Read verse number 40.
And to him they agreed.
And they agreed with Gamaliel.
When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. They were counted worthy to suffer shame for his
name. Are you rejoicing? Being worthy to be suffering for the name of Christ. I'd rather suffer with God's people than to suffer with the world. See, we have to condition our mind to understand we will suffer. That bear, he know, look, wintertime, I'm going to be suffering. I'm going to get in this cave. So I can weather the storm. If we know that we will suffer, our minds will be conditioned. 1 Peter 4, verse number 1. Peter said, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, he said, arm yourself with the same mind. Arm yourself, ready to suffer. I'm ready. I know I'm going to suffer. I know people are not going to like me. I'm ready for it, though. Mm-hmm. I'm arming myself ready to suffer. Look, winter, listen, summer just passed. We got winter. I might be in the winter time right now, but I know summer coming. I'm going to arm myself for it. I'm going to arm myself for suffering. Now, pray that you do the same thing. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17. For our light affliction is but for a moment, for a season. The season of suffering. It's but for a moment, a season. And it working for us a far more exceeding and an eternal weight of glory. So that suffering is only for a moment. Just for a little bit. For a season. Turn to Luke chapter 4 for me, Brother Craig. Verse number 12. Now, in this context, Jesus being tempted by the devil. Luke 4, verse number 12. And verse number 13.
And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season.
He departed for a season. Just like I said, look, I know summer left. I'm in my winter now, but the devil, he's going to come back.
Yes, sir.
That's the point. He's coming back. Right now, I'm arming myself against him. Ephesians chapter 6, do you have your weapons to fight? You got to arm yourself knowing that you will suffer. Have the condition in your mind like the apostles, they were found worthy. They was excited. Yes, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to suffer. They looking for somewhere so they can suffer. Mm-hmm. Arm yourself, but you got to understand that it only lasts for a season.
Yes.
It'll be over in a minute, after a while. It'll be over after a while. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. Mm-hmm. Galatians 6, verse number 9. And let us not grow weary in well doing.
For in due season. We shall reap if we faint not.
Don't grow weary in your suffering right now. In due season. Mm-hmm. It's all a season. Mm-hmm. You shall reap.
Yes, sir.
Anchor down with the anchor of salvation. Not one you throw down in the water. One that comes down from heaven. Hold on to the anchor of Christ in your season of suffering.
Yes, sir.
It only lasts a season. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 5:10. But to the God of grace, which has called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a little while, or just a season, what is it going to do? It's going to make you perfect, Peter says. It's going to establish you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to settle you. Mm-hmm. Your temptations will do that for you. You remember Job? Job went through some trials and tribulations. He hang in there, though. He had some questions, but he knew that God is able. But in Job chapter 42, verse number 5, Job said, I heard the Lord. After all the trials and tribulation I've been through, now I see him. He delivered him. I heard the Lord, but now I see him. Mm-hmm. See, temptations, trials will make you perfect. It will establish you. It will strengthen you, and it will settle you. And you will be out of that season. You just got to hang in there. See, don't grow weary in well-doing. The third season. Mm-hmm. Peak season. Peak season. Turn to, this is the season where we are anchored in. We know we prepare for temptations. Now it's our peak season. Turn to Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10. Now Moses, by the hand of God, brought his people out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt. Many signs and wonders. They went on to, in that desert, after they came from the land of Egypt, headed to a dead end, the Red Sea. The Egyptians were behind them. Go ahead and pick up reading, sir.
And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? Mm.
Pause right there. Have you ever had these complaints going on? My car broke down. My house messed up. My this is that and that. My this and that. I can't do that. My son did it in school. My blah, blah, blah. Have you ever had those conversations?
Yes,
keep reading.
Yes, sir. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt?
Didn't I say that this was going to happen? Go ahead.
Saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Mm.
Listen, read verse number 13.
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not.
Fear ye not. See, Moses seen some things. Mm-hmm. He seen the hand of the Lord. See, when you're in your peak season, someone going through trials and tribulations, you go to him, you put your hand on his shoulder and say, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Somebody going through some things in their marriage, you can say, listen, fear ye not. What else he say?
Stand
still.
To see the salvation of the Lord.
He said, stand still. Somebody might have a death. We just had a sister of ours had a death in her family. You in your peak season. Now it's time for you to encourage and edify. Somebody else going through their season of struggling and going through their trials and tribulations. Now it's time for you to put your hand on your shoulder and say, fear ye not and stand still. Somebody else going through a marriage situation. You in your peak season. You can say, listen, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's going to be all right. When you in your peak season, it's time for you to go and encourage and edify your brothers. Mm-hmm. Are you in your peak season? Or are you in your suffering season? I hope you're not in the sin pleasure season. He says, stand still, fear ye not. See the salvation of the Lord. Now, when you're in your peak season, we have been commanded by Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 15, go ye out into the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the mission when you're in your peak season. Preach the gospel to every creature. I'm in my peak season. Preach the gospel. Be instant. Paul told Peter, Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, 4, be preach the gospel, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering when you're in your peak season. Think about it. You go on your job. You letting your light so shine that men may see your good works. Look, you don't have to hide that you're a Christian. They're going to say, every time I talk to that man, he never comes. They can see it. He's married. He ain't got no multiple women. You ain't got to tell them you're a Christian. You ain't got to say nothing. Every time on the job, he's working, he clock in on time, leave on time. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to tell them you're a Christian. They know by your light. See, by you. You let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, they'll glorify God because of you.
Amen.
Then one day they're going to stop. They get around you, they're going to stop cussing. They get around you, they're going to say, well, man, I'm thinking about engaged. I'm going to go ahead and ask her to marry me because of you. Mm-hmm. They might even become a Christian if only we open our mouths.
Yes, sir.
If only we open our mouths. You can't hide it. You might as well talk about it. They might become a Christian if only we can open our mouths. See the salvation of the Lord in your peak season. See, when you're in your peak season, you don't just sit down after your struggles and trials and tribulation and just weather the storm. It's time to get to work. It's time to plant. It's time to sow seeds in your peak season. You came out of them trials and tribulations. It's time to sow seeds. Mark chapter 1, verse number 45. Jesus healed this man. He hit his man with his infirmity. The scripture said this man went and blazed the name of Jesus in the whole city. To the point where Jesus had to leave him out there. They was encamping him and smothering him. He blazed the word of God in the whole city. I'm so glad it said blaze too. Because he was on fire for the Lord. He blazed. Mark 1, verse number 45. We have the solution to every man's problem. We are the light of the world. Listen, you know the moon? The moon gives light, but its light comes from the sun. So the moon just reflects light. All we do is reflect light. Mm-hmm. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify God. God is the light. You just reflect it in the world. That's all you got to do. Reflect light in this dark and dying world. Peak season. Every one of us is a Christian. We are a type of Moses. We going into a dark and dying situation. We bringing people out of slavery of sin so we can go on to glory.
Yes,
to a promised land. That's what Moses' job was, to get people from one land to a promised land. That's our job. The season of peak season. Now, the last and final season, the season of change. Now, this word change is metahartizo in the Greek. We get the word metamorphosis from that word. Now, metamorphosis, like a caterpillar. Caterpillar, he's a caterpillar. He's an ugly little thing. He got slime coming from behind him. He has no color, but then he goes into his cocoon where he dies, and then he turns into a precious and glorious butterfly.
Yes.
Well, Paul said, if this earthly tabernacle of our house were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house of God made without hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul called his body in Romans chapter 7, verse number 18, a body of death where none good dwells. This slimy, sinful nature that we have, nothing good dwells in this earthly tabernacle of the flesh. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. I remember when Jesus told Moses when he was on that mountain, he said, take your shoes off. You dirty. You are dirty in my presence. Take them off. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20 and 21. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Go ahead, Brother Craig.
For our conversation is in
our manner of living. Our lifestyle.
And with also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
We look for Christ.
Who shall change our vital body.
He shall change these fleshly tabernacles.
Metamorphosis.
Go ahead. Metamorphosis.
Like unto his glorious body.
Like unto his body.
According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
If this earthly tabernacle, 2 Corinthians 5:1, were dissolved. We have a tabernacle, this flesh, if it was dissolved, if it dies, if death swallow us like a cocoon, we have a building of God made without hand, eternal in heaven. Paul also said, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven.
Yes.
1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then he that alive shall be remain. So he that remains shall be caught in the air together with them in cloud to meet the Lord in the air, so that we should be with the Lord and be as he is. This is the season of hope for us. When we're going through our trials and tribulations, that season of metamorphosis, that season of change, that season that we know we're going to meet the Lord and our bodies, our vile bodies are going to change. That's what keeps us from fainting when we're in our trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. That is our anchor, our hope, knowing that the Lord is going to come back and receive us into his kingdom. Mm-hmm. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go, I'm going to come back and bring you with me. That's our hope when we're facing death. That's our hope when we're in sin and shame and the world is beating on our back. We got hope. That is our hope when men revile you and knock you upside your head for no apparent reason like they did Christ. That is our hope. Even your own brothers look down upon you. That's your hope. Knowing that I am here to please God and to preach the gospel to man that are dying in a lost, dying world. That is our hope. That is our reason why we come here every Sunday. That blessed hope of eternal home with him in heaven. Well, that's the four seasons. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your kind attention, but if you're not a Christian, you are just like that caterpillar, leaving a slimy mark in the world. You are leaving a slimy trail behind you of filth and disgust. You can go into the cocoon, the watery grave with baptism. Go down in there and let that water smother around you. You can rise up a new creature. You got to hear the gospel, believe in Jesus Christ, believe that he came into this world to save and seek and save those that are lost. Mm-hmm. Believe that he is the Son of God himself. Repent from your sins. Confess the name of Jesus Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come now while together we stand and sing.
Oh, do not.